bears. I was. I'd let Brother Jeff Clemens preach for me. Great. Hey. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
It is good to be in the house of God.
Yes. Yes, sir.
If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. Brother Sexton and I were talking about Tyler this morning. And I said he's got a beautiful wife. And I love her very much. Matter of fact, we used to live together.
You better clarify.
Tyler's wife is my daughter, praise God. I know I've seen some of y'all sweating. Praise the Lord. It has been good to be here. And I thank the Lord for His goodness to us.
Yes.
Meeting with us. Helping us. I do say about those young people. I've always said this about my children. I say it about my grandchildren. Now, I don't want my children nor my grandchildren to be moral. I want my children and my grandchildren to be spiritual. There's a lot of moral children. And they do right. And they're in church and they're doing what they go to work and they serve in their community. But I want more than that for my children and my grandchildren. I want my children to be able to read the Bible and get something out of it. I want my children, whenever they call me, to say, "Daddy, what do I do in this situation?" My answer always, ask all three of my children, my answer is always this: pray. It's not a dollar bill. It's not a $100 bill. It's get on your face before God and find God and say, "God, would you help me?" You know why? Because one day I ain't going to be here. And my children are going to need God and find an answer from God through their prayer life. I want spiritual children. Just throw that out there. You ain't got to pay extra for it. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. Of course, this is a story with a woman of Zarephath. She helped the man of God, took care of the man of God. And for 1 year, they ate out of an empty barrel. And every time she went to the barrel, she got food. And all that was good. But the Bible said in verse 17 that came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. I want to try and preach this morning on getting the wind knocked out of you. Getting the wind knocked out of you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne in need of Your help. I pray, dear Lord God, in this meeting, dear Lord God, a few more preachers will preach. And dear Lord God, as Brother Sexton said, it's not the end. But dear Lord God, it is time, dear Lord God, that we can receive help. And I pray, dear Lord God, this morning, dear Lord God, You'd meet with us and help us, dear Lord, through Your Word. Dear Lord God, You've magnified Your Word above Your name. It's what You said. And dear Lord God, Your Word will help us more than anything else. Dear Lord God, more than sitting down with a friend on the phone and saying, "What do I do in this situation?" God, we can receive instruction from the Word of God in prayer. Help us now, I pray. Thank You so much for Your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible said here again in verse 17 in 1 Kings chapter 17, the Bible said, "And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house," this is the woman that fed him for a year, "fell sick, and his sickness was sore that there was no breath left in him." Have you ever got the wind knocked out of you? I have several times, fallen out of a tree, playing football, baseball, whatever the case was. It isn't a good feeling. But I thought about through the Bible, there were different people that got the wind knocked out of you. I thought about Adam. and the depravity there. He sinned against God, and here he was in a perfect place in a garden. And one day, all that ended, and he was outside of the garden, outside of the will of God. Can you imagine him waking up that first day and saying, "It's all over"? I'm sure that Adam had the wind knocked out of him that morning when he looked at Eve and said, "All that we've had, all the blessings of God are now ended, and we are out in a place that we don't know nothing about." I thought about the depravity of Adam, but I thought about the dedication of Abraham. Can you imagine that morning that Abraham got the message from God? "I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, the one you've waited for and prayed for and sought after God and tried to receive help from God to have a son. I want you to take that son and I want you to carry him 3 days' journey to Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice him there." I'm sure that Abraham had the wind knocked out of him. I think about depravity of Adam. I think about the dedication of Abraham. I think about the disaster of Noah. Somebody preach on that. Can you imagine that day, that seventh day after they had entered the ark, that door closed and God closed that door. They couldn't get out. And they're trapped in that ark for 1 year. Somebody mentioned 360 days, somewhere around there, 365, somewhere around there. They were in that ark. And all that time, can you imagine the first day that door closed? I'm almost sure that Noah, even knowing God and God inside the ark, it's black and dark inside that ark. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? I'm telling you, I imagine that Noah had the wind knocked out of him. I know this personally. I raised my support. 13 months I was on the field in Bulgaria. Landed there, got in our apartment. We had a furnished apartment. Walked in about 2 days after I was there. I said, "What in the world am I doing here? 5,000 miles from home. I can't even get milk." My wife said the first couple of days we were there, she said, "We need milk." I said, "Well, that's a good question because I don't even know how to ask for it." I walked downstairs, eight stories down, went in the little shop there, and the woman looked at me, and I looked at her. I couldn't speak Bulgarian, she couldn't speak English, and I simply looked at her and went... She understood, praise be to God. Having the wind knocked out. You ever been to the place that something so drastic has happened in your life? And I'm sure if you're in the ministry, you've had the wind knocked out of you. I think about the depravity of Adam, the dedication of Abraham, the disaster of Noah. I think about the death of Elijah in this story. All was going well. They'd been eaten out of an empty barrel, and one day the boy dies. Can you imagine all that was going through Elijah's mind and thinking about, "God, you blessed me. I've been down that terrace. You gave me water there out of the brook, and those ravens that brought me food." Brother Stanley Ballou, I believe, said they brought him hamburgers. Got it off of Ahab's grill. Praise God, brought it down there to him. Can you imagine all that went through Elijah's heart there, that the boy was dead and what he was going to do? I'm sure he had the wind knocked out of him. I think about the disillusionment of the road to Emmaus. Those two there and all the discouragement they had. It was the day of the resurrection. It was the third day after the crucifixion of Christ. They're walking down the road and even their conversation said, "Where have you been? Have you been in Jerusalem in the last few days and all that? They've crucified our Lord and we don't even know what to do. We're on our way home." And it wasn't until they broke the bread their eyes were open.
Amen.
Can you imagine the discouragement in their heart?
Sure.
They had the wind knocked out of them. All that they had put in their... They knew Christ was coming to set up the kingdom. Problem is, they missed the church. They missed the church. They didn't understand that the church age was going to be here. I'm sure they had the wind knocked out. I think about the delight of heaven. Can you imagine 3 seconds after we walk into heaven? Now that's going to be a little while. I made that comment at Brother Tim Perry's church the other day. And Brother Tyler called me and said... "Now, what did you say?" 7 years of tribulation. If the rapture took place right now, 7 years, 1,000-year reign of Christ, that's 1,007 years before that new Jerusalem ever drops down. Yeah. Hey, you know, you go to every funeral, and you go to the funeral, and everybody preaches and says, "Man, Grandma's in heaven. Yeah. She's walking those streets of gold." I don't know that she is. Yeah. I know the Bible said to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord, and I know she's with the Lord, and it's a wonderful place and a gracious place, but she ain't walking the streets of gold. She ain't walking in that city. I think we'll all go in there at the same time. Can you imagine those pearly gates? I'm telling you, where our wind will get knocked out of us when we walk in that city. We'll say, man, I wish I'd have done more. I think about the law of heaven. I think about the destruction of hell. Luke chapter 16. That rich man's in hell. Can you imagine 2 seconds after he gets there? Every person that drops off into hell. Can you imagine 2 seconds after they get there? I'm sure they get the wind knocked out of them. Say, man, I wish I had every opportunity. I believe all those will come back to their memory. Every opportunity they had, every gospel track, every time they were in a motel room and accidentally pulled that drawer open and there was a Gideon Bible in there and they could have read that Bible and been saved by God's grace and they shunned the opportunity. I tell you, they'll see that every single time while they're in hell. I tell you, I believe the wind will get knocked out of them 5 seconds after they're there. But I think about this story here about getting the wind knocked out of you. The Bible said in Psalm 104 verse 29, it said, "Thou hidest thy face. They are troubled. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to their dust." The Bible said here in Psalm 104 that the Lord sometimes hides His face from us. He just steps off in the shadows. Not that He leaves us. He's with us all the time. He said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." But sometimes in our life and situations, God just steps over in the shadows to see what we're going to do. How many times have we called unto God? Not because we had sin in our heart. We're reading our Bible. We're going to church. We're trying to serve God, do right in our life. And it seems as though we call unto God and the heavens are as brass. Getting the wind. The Bible said here He hides His face. They are troubled. We are troubled when we hide His face. And the Bible said, take us away their breath. It knocks the wind out of us. I thought about several things about breath. Number one, breath causes us to be a person. In creation, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Breath made Adam a man. He's there. He's a carcass laying on the ground. That dust that God had put together. He didn't do it. I've heard people preach and say that they took clay and put it. It wasn't clay. It was dust. Dust is worthless. God scrapes a little worthlessness together, breathes into it the breath of life, and we become a living soul. I think about this. Breath causes us to be a person. It is the breath of God that caused me. December the 8th, 1984, I was a long-haired hippie boy, a drunk and a drug head, and God came my way and gave me the gospel and breathed in my life in that cornfield, and I got saved by the grace of God. One preacher said, "I put more confidence in the cornfield than I do Christ." I don't know that that's so. That's just where it happened. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about getting a little monument made, not real big. A little monument made out of stone and asking the people where I got saved. There's a little road back there now. And getting that and see if I could put that right in that spot. And say, "Brother Jeff Cronz got saved right here, December the 8th, 1984. I'm really thinking about doing that. I don't know whether I will. My baby, somebody be blessed by that. I think about this. Breath causes us to be a person. But I thought about this. Breath is found in His precepts. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That is, God breathed. Everything in the Word of God, God breathed this. He spoke to those men and they wrote the Word of God. It is the breath of God. When you're discouraged and down and seem like you don't get no direction, you can simply open the Word of God and God will breathe into you help to be able to make it another day. I never have understood that. I've been saved 35 years and serving God and reading my Bible. And I never have understood. You know, I'm just reading through my Bible. Just like I do every year. I start in Genesis. You know, I know different people do it different ways. They start in Amos. Go through the alphabet. Read B, C, D. I just always read Genesis. Start in Genesis. Go to Revelation. I just do that. But you know, when I'm reading through my Bible, the trouble that I'm going through, God has an answer in the next day, exactly what I need to help me in my problem. Isn't that a miracle?
Amen.
I'm just reading through my Bible and God's going to breathe into me some help.
Amen.
I think about the bad breath causes us to be a person. It's in His precepts. I know this breath causes praise. The Bible said in Psalm 150, verse 6, He said, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. Do this for me. Do this for me. Could you do this? Suck in some wind right now and go, "Now breathe out." You ought to praise God.
That's
what it says. Everything that's got breath ought to praise the Lord. I tell you, God's been good to you. God's helped you. God's delivered you. God saved you by the grace of God. God gave you shoes this morning. You had water to drink. You had clothes to put on. You had food to eat. You had a wife that could get in the car with you and drive here. God has been good to us. He said this. He said everything that's got breath. I know this. Breath causes praise. But breath is prevailing. The Bible said in Exodus chapter 15, verse number 10, He said, "Thou didst blow with the wind, and the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters." The breath of God. It was the breath of God that opened up the Red Sea. The Bible said with His nostril, not nostrils, one. Yeah, I don't know how He did that, but I know this. He breathed on that water and it
went.
It wasn't just a little path now. 2 million, 3 million, however, whatever commentary you read. 2 to 3 million people went across in about 8 hours. All of all went across. And then the Egyptian army came after them and God breathed on that water one more time. And it closed up. And the Bible said they sank as lead. I know this. Breath causes to be a person in His precepts, causes praise. His breath is prevailing, but His breath is precious. Again, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, "The Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." You know, breath is more than existence. There are people in the nursing home, and guess what? They're breathing, but guess what? They have no existence. I tell you, because of December the 8th, when I got saved by the grace of God and the breath of God got put in me, I have more than existence. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. God has been good to us, thank God. When I think about this story, I just want to share three things with you and I'll be done. I thought about the cause of us getting our wind knocked out. The cause. The Bible tells us this story here about Elijah and this widow woman. The Bible said that her son fell so sick that there was no breath left in him. I think about the cause of getting the wind knocked out of you. Why would you get the wind knocked out of you? Number one, it would be the absence of His presence. When God steps away, He could step away because of sin and ungodliness. He could step away because He just wants to test our faith. When God steps out into the shadows, I tell you, oftentimes His presence is gone. I tell you, I want His presence near. All the time. I tell you, if I wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I want His presence near me to be able to help me. I tell you, in my prayer closet, and now I want to be known as a man of prayer. I don't want to be known as a man of preaching. And there are great men. And I tell you, there are great men in this room. I tell you, I respect you all. I'm tending to the utmost. I lift you up. I call many of your names out every single day in prayer. But I want to be known as a man to praise. But I want God there when I am. When I enter my closet, I want God there with me. I tell you what would cause us to lose our breath or get the wind knocked out of us. The absence of His presence. How about the second one? How about abundance of problems? The Bible said here, everything was running well, eating out of an empty barrel. It seemed like God was taking care of them all of a sudden. Right in the middle of the story, guess what? This boy gets the wind knocked out of him.
Yep.
Causes turmoil. I tell you, the abundance of problems in our life can cause us to get the wind knocked out of you. And it don't seem like in our day, it doesn't seem like just one problem, then you can wait 6 months and another problem stands up. It seems like it's every single day. Phone call. You need to pray for this brother. You need to pray for this preacher. You need to pray for this family. I tell you, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. It is never ending. Y'all get that same kind of calls? I think about abundance of problems. I tell you, it'll walk, knock the wind out of you. No, I thought about the absence of His presence and the abundance of problems, but I thought about the ailment of our person. Again, here, this boy is sick. Now, I read this about from the Mayo Clinic. It said the two most common causes of shortness of breath is due to heart condition. I thought that was pretty good. Why do we have shortness of breath and our God breathing on us? Maybe it's our heart. Our heart ain't right. Now, the ailment of our person has some of us, as we get older, things start quitting. They don't work like they ought to. You wake up hurting, you go to bed hurting, you hurt all day. Praise God. And I tell you, when that happens again and again, and you've been to the doctor and the specialist and had this surgery, and after a while, it just wears on you. The ailment of the person. But I thought about not only why it would cause us to get the wind knocked out, the absence of His presence, the abundance of problems, the ailment of our person, but the accumulation of perversion. Genesis chapter 17, verse number 17 said this, when Noah entered that ark, the Bible said he took the breath of those people that were outside of the ark. I tell you, you read the news. Somebody was in the place eating breakfast this morning. They were looking for Fox. I don't want to look at Fox. I don't want to look at nothing. This ain't nothing but bad news. I tell you, it's got my heart worried all the time what the Democrats are going to do.
Yeah.
If you're a Democrat, God help you.
Yeah.
I think about this, the cause of getting the wind knocked out of us. But then I think about this, the crisis of getting the wind knocked out. What kind of effect does it have when we get the wind knocked out of us? What is the crisis of it? Well, number one, it's the anguish of losing your breath. If you've ever lost your breath, you can think about the anguish. You're laying there on the ground and all those football players are around you. You done got the wind knocked out of you. And they're all looking at you and you can't breathe. That's a bad feeling. I think about the anguish of it. But I tell you, spiritually speaking, if you get the wind knocked out of you, I'm telling you what now, there's an anguish. I need God's presence. I need His breath to help me in the problem I have. I think about the anguish of losing your breath. I think about the accusations in losing your breath. You know, the Bible said this in verse number 18. This is what the woman said. Now, this woman has been fed by the man of God for 1 year. If you say that text out, for 1 year they had out of an empty barrel. If it hadn't been for the man of God, she'd have took those 2 sticks she had. She'd have mixed up some biscuits and praise God, she'd have been dead a long time ago. But the man of God came into town and the man of God helped this woman. But guess what? The first time a problem comes up, guess what? There's an accusation. The Bible said this. She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O man of God? Art thou come to me to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son? You know what happens when you get the wind knocked out of you? Accusations are made. When your people in your church, and I tell you, things happen to them, guess who they're going to blame? You. Why is this happening to me? Maybe it's because of you. Maybe it's because of your church. Maybe it's because of your standards. The accusations. Has that ever happened to you? The accusations? It's like a bitten dog or a hurt dog. I tell you, mess with a hurt dog and you're trying to help him, guess what? You're going to get bit. Proverbs says this. Proverbs says take a dog by the ears. Guess what? You will get bit. I think about this. What is the crisis? What is the problem when we have the wind knocked out of us? The anguish, we lose our breath. The accusations of anxiety. Awareness of losing your breath. Guess what? You're not the only one knows you lost your breath. Everybody around you does. All your preacher friends know. Guess what? You're having a problem. Somebody was preaching the other day about rotten wood. My wife came in the room the other day and I was laying on the bed. And she said, in a few words, thank God for my wife, she said, you got rotten wood, son. You need to get that right. You need to work that out. Thank God for my wife. I think about the anxiety, the awareness of it. But I thought about not only the cause of getting the wind knocked out and the crisis of it, but what is the cure? I mean, we've all been there. We've all been in that situation. On in our Christian faith, I tell you, in serving God, No matter how spiritual we are, no matter how much we read our Bible and pray, guess what? There is going to be a time in our life that we get the wind knocked out of. Something overtakes us in such a way, I tell you, it takes our breath. Mm-hmm. What is the cure? Number one, remember the source of your breath. I tell you, in the midst of all of that, you need to remember where your breath came from to start with. Who gave you breath to start with? Where did you get saved by the grace of God? Where did God breathe into you the breath of life? I think about remember the source of breath. Why? He's the creator of your breath. I was there for all three of my children. All three. I seen their first breath. I used to tell Jamie, my son, I used to tell him, I saw your first breath, but I can take your last one. He's the creator of your breath. Praise God. Not only is He the creator of your breath, He's the contributor of your breath. He gives you breath. I tell you, when you're down and discouraged, it is God. It is only God that lifts you up, praise God, and can help you when you're down. I tell you, He gives us breath. I tell you, sometimes in my life, I tell you, I just want to take the sheet and throw it over my head and say, man, I'll wake up tomorrow. I just want to quit. But the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes in Bulgaria, I used to get down that closet in that basement, and I'd be down in that basement, and the Holy Spirit of God would come down there and just put His arm around me and say, it'll be all right. What was He doing? He's giving me a little more breath. No, I think about He's the creator of our breath, and He's the contributor of our breath, but He's the controller of our breath. He's in control. I tell you, if we'll yield to Him, He'll give us all we need to help us in those times. But I thought about this. We need to remember the source of our breath. But number two, we need to remember the seriousness of our breath. How serious it is that I keep breathing spiritually? How serious that I get up every morning and read my Bible? How serious is that I have a prayer list and those preachers I've got on that land and other people, the lost people that are on my list, and I pray for them daily? How serious is that I keep my breath? I tell you, it's dead serious. The seriousness of my breath. It is who I am. None of you in this room, none of you remember what I was before I got saved by the grace of God. You know what you know? You know me as a man, a missionary, praise God, a man that runs a man's home. You know me as a man that reads my Bible and prays. That's what you know about me. That's who I am. The breath that I have is who I am. It's who you are too. I don't know any other thing else. Brother Ronnie Young, I don't know anybody else but you in the situation that you're in.
Right.
I don't know you as a drunkard or a dope head. I don't know you in that fashion. I know you as a preacher of the gospel of Christ. And when you get in the pulpit, you'll preach and help and feed your soul. It's who I am. My breath is who I am. But it's what I am.
Yes.
That breath that I have from God to help me in my walk, I tell you, it's who I am and what I am. But not only do we remember, need to remember the source of our breath and the seriousness of our breath, we need to remember the saviors of our breath. I didn't say savior, I said saviors. The Bible said this, had it not been for the man of God, and God of course, but had it not been for the man of God, guess what? It would have been over. It would have been to the graveyard, dig a hole, and put this child in there. But it didn't happen that way. I think about the saviors of our breath through their supplication. How many people are praying for you? I was preaching in Louisville just the other day. I was in Louisville preaching, and a man walked up to me. I thought this was rather odd. He walked up to me and said, I've been looking for you for 20 years. I said, do what? Me? You looking for me? He said, yeah, I've been looking for you. He said, you preach for Wayne Matheson. Anybody in here remember what Wayne Matheson? He pastored in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, and I preached in his church 20 years ago. And this man was a member of his church. He said, I've been looking for you for 20 years, and the flyer came out for the meeting you were preaching in, and your name was on it, and I came to this meeting just to see you.
Amen.
And he said this, I pray for you every day.
Amen.
I think about this. Remember the saviors of your breath, those that bring up supplication for you, bring your name up before the throne of grace to help you. What's going to keep you going? I tell you what's going to help you when the wind God gets knocked out of you. I can tell you what's going to help you. People that are praying for you, uplifting your name. Not only I think about their supplication, I think about their sincerity. The Bible said this man took this dead child in his arms and took it to his bed and prayed over that child. I think about the sincerity of those around us. You know, there are people that care for you. They're concerned about every breath you take and everything you do. They are concerned. They give you cars. They give you clothes. They give you a paycheck. They've helped you all along the way. They care. I think about this. The Savior's of every breath. What? The supplication, the sincerity, the sharing. He shared his bed. The Scripture, verse number 24, the Bible said this, "And the woman said unto Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is truth." I think about this. Don't I remember that when you get the wind knocked out, remember the source of your breath and the seriousness of your breath and the Savior's of your breath. But remember the strength of your breath. It's what keeps you going. Amen. My friends depend upon my breath. Mm-hmm. People I go to church with. Mm-hmm. I pray for Philip Willis every day.
Amen.
I pray for Hannah. I pray for Sarah. I pray for Stephen. Mm-hmm. And I pray for Leah. Mm-hmm. And I pray for Melissa every single day. Mm-hmm. I call their name out. Why? Mm-hmm. He's a friend of mine. I go to church with him. Brother Philip and I have been going to church together so long. Brother Philip was in my Sunday school class when he's 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I pray for you every day, Philip.
Amen.
I think about it to remember the strength of your breath. My friends are dependent upon my breath.
Yes.
Your friends are dependent upon your breath. Not only I think about my friends, but my fortitude and my future is dependent upon my breath.
Amen.
Me making it tomorrow, Brother Sexton, me making it tomorrow is all dependent upon my breath.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
God breathing upon me.
Yes.
What to do when you get the wind knocked out of you? Number one, you need to remember the source of your breath. Where'd you get it to start with?
Yes.
I got it from God. I didn't have it. I just told you I was a long-haired hippie boy, drunk and a drug head, and a man that cared for my soul. He was a Presbyterian and didn't have the right Bible. But guess what? He came to the docks where I was working on a shrimp boat and told me about Jesus Christ and said, "You need to get your life straight and you need to get out of this mess." It was a family-run business. I was in the family. He said, "You need to get off this shrimp boat and get another job and get in church somewhere and serve God." I call him up every once in a while. I said, "Mr. Lyons, could we have lunch together?" Why is that so important? He helped me get breath.
Amen.
What to do when you get the wind knocked out of you?
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
Bow our heads for just a minute. Give you a chance to respond to the message. Sister Grace plays. My, we've all had the wind knocked out of us. Maybe you're here and you need to pray this morning.